Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, before we delve into things, I just want to tell you about our Liverpool streaming service. It is Redmen Plus. Get involved over there for extra Redmen shows in video form, in podcast form. You've got documentaries, features, interviews, and a hell of a lot more besides. If you join as a club legend, you get the Discord chat, you'll get free merchandise and a host of extra bonus perks. It's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. Get over there, get involved. Otherwise, let's face it, you're going to miss out on amazing Liverpool stuff in your life.
Hey everyone, welcome to the build-up show, where I'm mustering all of the enthusiasm I have buried deep inside. I'm clawing at my reserves here right now. Liverpool playing Rangers in the Champions League. I'd like to welcome our guests for today. We've got Dan Clough on the far side. We've got Steve Plunkett with us as well. And a big welcome to all of you who are watching us live on YouTube or on Twitter right now. The full show is streaming from here on out on YouTube. So if you're on Twitter, head over and check out the rest of us. We are also on the road to 500,000 subscribers here on YouTube. So please do, if you haven't already, click that subscribe button. It's so close, we can taste it. We are right up there. I think even that graphic's a little bit out of date now, which doesn't really matter. You got the idea. It's 500,000 and we're nearly there. We're about 1,000, I think, or so away. So if you're watching this, if you enjoy our content and you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel for free, then you can do. It's dead simple. And even if you know you listen to this in podcast form and you think, well, I've not watched a single second of your stuff on YouTube, but you like the podcast stuff, do it for me. Just go over to YouTube right now, youtube.com. Just you can type the Redmen TV or Redmen or whatever you want into your search bar and just click that subscribe button. Get us over there, because I don't really care. Because look, let's be honest, 500,000 people don't watch us every single week. It's a bit of a bullshit number, but it's a bullshit number that means we can have a big celebration, which is fine. There's got to be something to celebrate right now. So yeah, anyway, click that subscribe button. And yeah, if you do as well, we're giving away a signed Ibu Kanate shirt as well. So yeah, that should be very, very good indeed. Right. Steve, hi. Europe. Good old Europe.
Good old Europe.
Well better than this English league nonsense that everyone seems to get so wound up about. Nice. Klopp's been very keen post-match, like in the immediate aftermath about the Arsenal game. Look, it's done. Yeah, whatever, we'll analyse it. There's things to be taken from this, but we can't get those points back now. We can only look ahead. And that's kind of where we're at. I've been quietly reminding myself today and over the weekend or last Sunday night that you just because you're not going to win the Premier League doesn't mean you can't still have a reasonably good season. Liverpool need to continue to be up and running in the Champions League and make sure this is 3 points that they get banked.
Yeah, and to win the league these days you've got to be pretty much perfect, and that's damn difficult to do as we're finding out at the moment. So yeah, Europe comes as a welcome distraction. I've been on record, I love the European competitions, it's what I grew up on, so it means everything to me, and it's a welcome departure from difficult pressurised times in the Premier League at the moment where we can't catch a break. So we head up the road to Scotland to carry on that campaign, and you know, hopefully we get the right results, because we'd take a confidence booster from anywhere right now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. And look, it does feel a bit like we could have done with not having to play Arsenal and City either side of the Rangers games, Dan, because, you know, we'll talk about Rangers in a bit, but Liverpool are trying to reignite something in the team, and there's a chance that both of those games are just kicking Liverpool in the teeth. They're kicking them into the mud. Rangers represents, not just because it's Rangers and where they're at, and obviously we saw them last week and we kind of got a good look at what sort of level they're at, but moreover it's the Europe thing. It is a different competition. It can be a bit of a break from it. The style of football's different, the pace of the football's different, the atmosphere is going to be huge, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff, but the focus is the one at hand. The league can literally get bollocked for a few days. We're in danger of fucking that catastrophically.
Yeah.
This is all there is in Liverpool's future right now. Get this, you've taken your 6 points from Rangers, and then you can build on.
Yeah, 100%. It's one thing we haven't been able to do often under Klopp in terms of treat the competitions differently. We've almost had to treat the entire season as one sweeping thing because we're so competitive, or we have been so competitive on all four fronts, that we just got to go and go and go. This year already, it looks like we might have to sort of compartmentalise how we approach things. And I mean, Klopp's already starting to do that. And you rightly said earlier on, you've been kind of doing that yourself, as if to say, got to look at the different competitions now. And this is an opportunity. I'm almost tired of saying the same old, it's a welcome break, it's a distraction. But it is at the same time. And, you know, the confidence boost thing, I do agree with Steve. We do need a confidence boost, but it doesn't seem like they're really having much effect, do they? We're getting a confidence boost by a European win, and then back to the same old in the league.
Because it transpires the confidence isn't enough to beat really good football teams.
Well, 100%. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, at the same time, listen, I'm always positive, and we've got to treat it differently, and we've got to... This is a team and a manager that's good enough to win Champions League matches and may go a long way in this competition. And worse teams than this have won the Champions League for Liverpool before now.
Exactly. And that's the kind of point on this, but that's what we're playing for, is that we might have to separate out all four competitions this season and treat them all on their own individual merits. Last season was a bit of a blanket thing. Well, I say that, you know, we obviously had a different cup team. Our domestic cup team was very much the other lads. You know, it was Taki Minamino's Tricky Reds was our cup team. But I think there's maybe a case here where in years gone by, we'll have got a measure of Rangers, and we'd be thinking, well, this is a game where you're putting, you know, a few more of the younger lads in, you're rotating a little bit more because you know it's guaranteed. But I do wonder where we're trying to kickstart a formation. We're trying to get everyone up to speed, doing something different. There's a reason why we stayed with two up top against Arsenal, even bringing in our three normal central midfielders, and still stuck roughly with the shape of it, with Hendo deeper on the right. I'm not getting into that, by the way. Fucking horrendous. But the Jordan Henderson right midfield. It's not 2012. Like, you know what I mean? I thought we were past that, but here we are. Which is no slight on Jordan, by the way. I mean, again, he put in a shift on the afternoon, but we can't really afford right now to take any game lightly, to treat it with anything less than perfect respect, because it's Rangers. It's going to Ibrox. You saw what it meant to them. They travelled en masse last week. They're on the home turf. They're going to make that an absolute bear pit of a ground. We've got to treat this like it's another Napoli game.
I suppose for us, we have to turn this around, because we've always talked about our intensity, and how playing three games a week suits us, because we're always playing football and we were really good at that. With that intensity dropping off to where it has and us not playing well, we've got to find a way to reinvent it. So I'm okay at the moment. We're playing sort of Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Tuesday, whatever that might be. So we go to Rangers, we get back at it. You know, then they're not a European giant. They're not a superpower in European football. But as you said, we saw what it meant to them when they came to Anfield. We'll go there. It'll be a cauldron. They'll be up for it. It'll be loud. It'll be energetic. If you're a footballer and you're not motivated by what's going on in the stand, you would have to question yourself, particularly there, because we've seen it before when Gerrard did the Invincibles and the Centenary thing up there. It was nuts. Yeah. And it will be nuts this week. We need to look beyond that and do the things that we do well, which has been a bit of a task for us at the moment. But I'm not against the intensity of the games coming fast, because at some point, we will improve. We didn't become a bad side overnight. Will improve.
We said that we've been laughing about this week, haven't we? Talking about, like, we were shit when it was one game a week. At least with two games a week, you haven't got long to wait between us, like, having an opportunity to win and sort your mood out. Mm-hmm. The thing that Liverpool needs to be careful of, and when we were talking about this, it immediately sprang to mind, was Red Star Belgrade away. Like, that is one of the most hostile atmospheres I've ever been at in a football ground. It was horrible. It was uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suspect Ibrox will be in. We might have access to bottles of water and toilets, which will help immeasurably. But it will be
gritty, and that's the thing about that game. We played, I think Sturridge started that game. We didn't play our first 11 away in Redstar, and we paid the price for it. And that's the thing about this, which is unfortunate. I don't know, in a normal season, I'd be going, shit, I'd be wanting to play a rotated side because it's City. So you'd be wrapping, in years gone by, you'd be wrapping your main men in as much cotton wool as possible. Like Fabinho wouldn't be playing this game. You'd be playing your second or third choice, number six, in this. Whereas right now, we haven't got the players, we haven't got the options, and everyone either needs a rest, but they're never going to get enough rest to reboot them because the season's up and running, or they need to play themselves back into some semblance of form.
Yeah, I think the latter is more the point, personally. I think individually these players aren't at it from man to man pretty much. For a few weeks now we've been saying, yeah, but he's doing okay, and yeah, but I think that's kind of gone now. I think we just need to look at it as a collective and say, listen, they're all not at it. Thiago yesterday wasn't at it. He apologised for his own performance, and he's one who kind of has got away with it, in inverted commas, up until that point. But yeah, I think we're in a position now whereby we just need to win games of football, and by doing that, I don't think Jurgen Klopp's got the luxury of resting and rotating players. Listen, if we get ahead in the game and you've got 20 minutes at the end to take off a couple of key players, then maybe, but going into it in terms of starting 11s, that's not possible at the minute.
The problem with this game, specifically given where Liverpool are at with fitness and injuries, and we'll do an injury update in part two, but I said this ahead of the first game, but it'll be much more exacerbated this time around, is Rangers are in last chance saloon here.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the back nine now of the group stage. They're facing down a well where it's going to be very difficult for them to be anything other than out of Europe at this point. Them being at home, there's a chance where they treat this like a Celtic game. And what I mean by that is it's blood and it's thunder and it's kicking people, and there's getting kudos for kicking people, and there's leaving one here and there. And as Liverpool get to a stage where they're seeing the game out, you find that, you know, a couple of lads who are just trying to make themselves heroes by planting someone. Very Merseyside derby, you know, we've seen this time and time again where fellas can win over their own fan base in defeat by being the guy who left. Man United fans still talk about the Hannibal kid the other season who come on and just started crunching people like that was some sort of like badge of honour or whatever. And that's what we need to be careful of here. Is this is why it's on a knife edge. Is, you know, we're hanging by a thread constantly. You know, Liverpool don't need any more players going down injured. We need to get this game tidied up. We need to get it sewn up as quick as possible.
I totally agree. And if results go Rangers' way, the other leg in the group, any points they pick up against us is something building towards something else, and by that, Europa League entry.
Yeah.
So if Napoli do, as expected, turn Ajax over and Rangers can get something, they're looking at the last two fixtures thinking, maybe, and that's dangerous for us. And you're right, there will be, you know, that element to it. If we get in front and things don't go their way in the other game, or haven't gone their way in the other game, then you might finally leave a foot in or two. Just for the fan worship hero thing, like you said. So, and they will be fired up and they will be aggressive. Teams that lack a little bit of quality always come with a little bit of extra venom and a little bit of extra effort. And I don't think that'll be any difference against Rangers.
Yeah, 100%. I think there was elements of that last week, early even then, wasn't there? Because they were just a little bit off it in terms of the quality. I think that was clear for all to see. And we were sort of beating them to most balls and they were just leaving. John Lundstrom did quite a little nasty one on Diogo Jota and stuff like that. And there's definitely a risk that could well play out, especially with the home crowd behind them, because they're going to be baying for blood, like you quite rightly say. And that times the fact that they could well not have things their own way, which they don't get very often, because obviously they dominate a lot of games in Scotland and they might not like it. So there's definitely a risk of that happening, and we've seen it when we went to Denmark as well, when Jota got injured in that game, and that was a different game for us. We should have rested more players maybe, but that's what happened in that. They just left a few naughty tackles in, and it's something we've got to be wary of.
It's a test for Liverpool's psychology here, because I think there's been a few too many players in this side this season who, whether it's one eye on the World Cup or whether it's an eye on, well, I'm so important to this team, I can't afford to be getting an injury at this point. You know, I've seen Liverpool teams have that in the past. There was often a criticism levelled, not, you know, like not shouting it from the terraces, but in the pubs around Liverpool, talk about Steven Gerrard at the time, where he was so essential to Liverpool that was he always given 110% in all the random games that he played in? And the honest answer was maybe not. Maybe he felt he was, but there's clearly situations where you go, do I want to risk a leg break in this one? Because if I'm out now, Liverpool are fucked in that. If I'm Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, I'm going, go and test that at Liverpool. Mm. Go and be physical. Go and be in the faces in the first 15 minutes and see how much we want it. And that's on the players who were on the pitch for Liverpool to kind of go, well, that's the game. That's the job. You run the risk every single week you take to a football pitch that someone could nobble. Yeah. I just hope it's not something that gets away with us, because we'll open the door and let them in if that's the case. Rangers, Steady beat St Mirren 4-0 at the weekend. Cholak scored two. That's 10-9 in the league for him. He was a bit of a surprise absence last week, started on the bench. Obviously, the idea was Morelos was meant to run around the place and get in Van Dijk's face, and ultimately he played with 10 men because he got nowhere near the ball. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get a look in this time around.
Yeah, because they put him in the team. It lifts the fans. They don't need the fans to be lifted for this fixture, but it will. And it's well documented that the problems we've got at the moment are defensive problems. So why would you not put your informed striker straight in your side and say, we're going to go long, we're going to go direct, we're going to go aggressive, and we want you on the end of everything we do? Because that's what I would be doing against Liverpool now. Yeah. I'd be setting loads of challenges for our defence by just being in their face all the time. And we'll probably have to ride a bit of a storm in the first 10, 15 minutes, because they will come. They will come at us. And this guy's in form, and he's probably a bit miffed himself, missing out against Liverpool at Anfield.
Yeah, 100%.
And it might be this guy's biggest game in his career to date.
Yeah.
And we saw it when Darwin Núñez came to Anfield. Sometimes players turn up and they're given opportunities like this. Yeah. So, I would expect him to start.
He's in this world where every time he wins a header, 100%. Every time he gets in a shoulder ball, every time he looses a shot or a header towards goal, it's a win. The pressure is almost off him. All that crowd is going to be behind him, being the tip of the spear, trying to cause Liverpool problems. I mean, I said they're 10-9 in the league already, but 13-16 total appearances so far this season. Hasn't scored in the Champions League proper yet, but he did get 3 and 4 in qualification. So you know he's definitely got that in him. And right, all the talk was, look, he's far less mobile, but I don't know. I don't think there's at this point in time. We saw Mitrovic have a good game against Liverpool, and he's hardly Speedy Gonzalez, is he? So there's not a type of player that literally Liverpool have boxed at this point. So they could certainly do far worse than unleash him and see if he can cause us problems. Right, cool. We're going to talk about Liverpool more. Who's injured? Who's likely to be out? And the big decisions facing Jurgen Klopp after the break. We have got a trivia question beforehand. That is, name the Liverpool 11. The last time we played Rangers at Ibrox.
Hello everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. While I've got you here for a minute, let me tell you about Red Men Plus, our amazing subscription service dedicated to all things Liverpool. Over on Red Men Plus, you will get access to the best premium content, including more podcasts that you'll enjoy. You'll get access to exclusive merch discounts, and you'll even get access to our very own Discord server and Facebook group. There's so much more to offer. To find out more, head over to www.redmenplus.com and get your subscription. Nice one, and let's get back to the show.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
We played a friendly against Rangers, because we've never played them there competitively. Last week was the first ever competitive meeting between the two teams. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I didn't know this, we played them on Tuesday the 18th of October in 2011. I don't know why or how that comes about. Like, why? Because maybe someone who's at home can tell me more, can give me more context around this.
I've got a copy.
International break sort of time.
Hang on a second. We've got the... There was a programme for it and everything. Let me get a look at the... I've got the programme up here. Friendly special souvenir programme, Tuesday the 18th of October, 2011. I mean, unless it was some kind of like mad testimonial or something, was there normally an international break? I've got no idea why this game was played. There's nothing... All I know, you can't smoke. That's what the ticket tells me. Kicked off at 7:30. Wild. Anyway, the starting 11. Do you want to have a go at naming some players? 2011, Liverpool.
Given when it is, it's really difficult. Because if it is an international break, which we don't know, we haven't established, then there's certain people not going to be there.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
There's some obvious big names not there. So as much as he's on the cover of the programme, Steven Gerrard is not in the 11.
No, it's an international break.
It's an international
break. I'm certain of it.
Jamie Carragher is not in the 11.
You know what? Flummoxed, absolutely. I didn't even know we'd played them at Ibrox ever, so to drop that on my toes here and now and then add the October context to it, I'm done, mate. I'm struggling to get my head around who would, because you would just take your reserves basically, wouldn't you, at that stage of the game.
Pepe Reina was an unused sub.
Okay.
Goalkeeper then, we mentioned him on the debate show this week.
Is it Donny?
Is Alexander Donny. Wow. Played in goal.
Shout that kid.
Back. This looks like a back five. It looks like three at the back. Oh no, wait, we've got two. He's left back, he's right back. Centre half. Oh no, there, no, it's a back. Oh no. There's three centre halves on in there. I don't know what they've done here.
So usual.
Left footed centre half.
Agger.
Daniel Agger.
Skirtle.
Martin Skirtle is not in there. He comes on as a substitute.
Are they genuine centre backs, or have we gone with the midfielder and centre back?
No, centre halves. It came up in the trivia question last week.
Paletta? No.
Nope.
No, Wilson.
Danny Wilson. I wondered whether this was like part of like the deal to buy him or something. Whether we had this arranged.
That is a thing. Certainly a football manager, that's a thing. Arranger friendly. So maybe we're in the realms. Yeah.
God. And another South American centre half.
Oh, Coates.
Coates. Yeah. A South American left back.
Aurelio.
Yeah.
Right back now.
An English right back.
Martin Kelly.
Nope.
Johnson.
Glenn Johnson.
Okay.
An English midfield currently on the books at Liverpool Football Club.
Jace Bearden.
Let's see. I guess it's another South American DM.
Lucas
Leiva.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go with a rough front three. There's a chance to play it on the wings or whatever here. But you've got another South American. You've got a former Liverpool record signing.
Andy Carroll.
And a guy who played two different spells for Liverpool up front. You got Andy Carroll sorted.
Yeah. And South American.
Suarez
there?
No.
He was...
Gonzalez?
We liked him running down the wing.
Oh, Maxi.
And the final one.
Who was the other one?
International footballer. Spells. Two spells at the club.
Bellamy.
Craig Bellamy,
yeah. Well done. Of course, yeah.
Apparently, Martin Hansen came on for Donny. Kite came on for Aurelio. Downing came on for Bellamy. Adam came on for Lucas. Flano came on for Johnson, Skirtle for Agger, Enrique for Wilson, Henderson for Maxi, and Pepe Reina was an unused sub. Lucas was the captain. Which he handed over to Dick.
You know what? I've sat here and been on the end of a load of trivia questions. That's the most left field trivia question I've done so far.
Absolutely wild. If you've got any of that, then you're brilliant, brilliant people. Future 3, welcome aboard in the live chat. He's just joined as a first team member here on YouTube. That's absolutely fantastic. Lots of shouts there from Simon Cooks, Glenn Johnson. Daniel Agger said Yusuf, so well done. Yeah, a couple of people getting a few of the names. Bellamy there, Stu Graves got that. So well done, Stu Graves. On the Craig Bellamy show. Right, let's crack on then. I've stalled long enough. Let's talk about Liverpool's injury issues. Ox still out, Kate is still out. As it stands, Klopp's press conference Tuesday, we'll know more, but Jones is likely still out. Robbo will still be out as well. Diaz and Trent are big doubts. Klopp described the injuries in rather negative terms. There was talk of Diaz leaving in a protective brace and crutches and all that kind of stuff. Dan, there's no way other way to slice that, really. We'll never know how that game would have gone. It's kind of been a little bit underserved that losing Trent and losing Dave, because everyone hates Trent at the moment, because you know it's an easy, it's low hanging fruit, and because ultimately we brought Firmino on who scored, so we were okay in technically in that front, but losing those two players badly hampered what we were trying to do at the weekend. And as much as you should, touch wood, you know, on paper, whatever, be able to get past Rangers without them, there's just huge, the huge losses if both of them are out for any spell of time.
Oh, 100%, yeah. As much as like we sort of divide the players in the way they're performing at the minute, like there are two of our most influential footballers. There's absolutely no two ways about it. Like Diaz only been with us for a short period of time, but yeah, what a short period of time he's been outstanding, and he was brilliant again on Sunday until he had to go off. He was, you know, sort of carrying the fight in many ways in a lot of times. Trent, yeah, his form isn't there, but again, he's so important to us, and we're waiting for him to click back into gear, and you'd keep rolling him out until he did so to lose both is huge, regardless of the way they're playing right now. It's huge because we're not playing well as a collective. Like if we were good and Trent was poor, you might be able to pull Trent out and go, oh, you know, have a little rest. That isn't the case. Like we're not very good right now, so in many ways, if it is only something minor and there's a couple of games and he has a little bit of a rest, it might do him the world of good. Like it might be exactly what he needs,
psychological
more than anything else. Yeah, and we might get to see Gomez might do it, and we might see Ramsey for the first time, but there's no sugarcoating it. Like losing those two footballers is massive, especially for a side like us right now that's struggling to find sort of any resemblance of form. You lose two of your most important players, it's a big loss.
And that's the thing, those things never get accounted for, because that's the problem. When you're in bad form, people stop caring for the smaller details and the smaller margins, and the fact is it feels like forever, like there's a shifting amount of things that are to blame. So you can look at, I can look at any individual game and pull it out and go, well, again, Arsenal, a couple of concerning referee decisions, and losing two of your major players, you can go away to the Emirates and that happened to you, and you can lose those games in football, and then you can go through more, like Liverpool have a wealth of injuries, and then going to Old Trafford and not being up to speed as a result, and so on and so forth. But injuries hampering us at the start, we just started to get players back, and now to start losing them again. I mean, the problem we've got at right back state is Calvin Ramsey's fit, he's training, he's had probably a week's worth of training. So, you know, if he was an integrated member of Liverpool's squad, he should be capable of being thrust into this game. It feels like it would be a bold call. And whilst Gomez is there and whilst Milner's there, I would be very surprised if we did put Calvin Ramsey in. But I don't know. I just wonder, it's Rangers. You've got City at the weekend. We've not got tons of options. I would be prepared, if depending on who else you can put out on the pitch.
Yeah.
I don't think the worst idea in the world is to put that kid in there, because in terms of trial by fire, you could put Gomez in, he could get an injury, or you could put Milner in, he gets absolutely destroyed, and then you're left with less choice for the weekend.
I'm not sure I want to see Ryan Kent versus James Milner anytime soon, to be honest with you. That has to be a factor. But you're quite right, we need Joe Gomez for the City game. With regards to Trent, if that injury is not a bad one, a couple of games with bruising and an impact injury won't do him or the team any harm, because it's adding to the pressure every single game we play. Every single programme is prefixed by it's Trent and he can't defend, and that stupid narrative, that boring narrative that's running wild at the moment. So it probably wouldn't do him any harm to miss a game or two. In different circumstances would be better. I think we can't afford to risk Gomez ahead of City. So I think if Calvin Ramsey is close to playing, why not? He comes from Scottish football. He understands Scottish football. Yeah. He's been to Rangers before. Great opportunity to make your debut for your new club in the country you're from against Rangers. In the Champions League. Do we need to carry on? Why not? There's a great case to say do it. Because at the end of the day, if you look at Rangers and take them in terms of their ability, we play better teams in the Premier League every single week. So we should be able to manage him through a fixture like that.
I think the circumstances are in ideal. You'd want to be able to ease him in. In fact, I asked the question to the Disco of the Club Legends, and Josh Hall says, personally, I think Gomez was good when he came on yesterday. Wouldn't be against him slotting in for the game. And Mark M says, start with Gomez and sub in Ramsey at the 60 minute. Hopefully after a 2-goal lead. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, that's the two sides of this is, would you... Let's say that's an option. So that sounds pretty reasonable to me, give him the last half hour. But I don't know, is there something to, if you're looking to shut up shop, would you rather have Gomez in to shut up shop? But then again, how are you telling Joe Gomez that he's slipped down the pecking order to another kid? It's a tough one. I just want to see him. I want to get a sense of how good he is as a footballer, and I'm not sure there's going to be many ideal opportunities. People mentioned Derby, but the Derby game's still, it's weeks away before we get to that, Dan. It might be a bit of an outside shout, but at this point, a young lad who's full of energy and full of pace and full of run and full of desire, who has played at right back even in his short career, is probably a better option than Milner, for example.
Yeah, I think so. I think although it's not ideal for many of the reasons we've already stated, in terms of it's going to be a cauldron, Liverpool need to win the game, you don't really want to be blooding a lad for his debut in those circumstances. But on the flip side of that, he has played in Scotland before, he has played at Ibrox before, he's going to be fully aware of the circumstances that surround it. He's going to be chomping at the bit. Like, he's probably gutted about the way his Liverpool career started in many ways. He comes, he signs, he must be over the moon. Lad from Aberdeen signing for one of the biggest football clubs in the world, gets injured, doesn't really get a chance to showcase his talents.
Yeah.
He'll be desperate to get going. He was made up to be back in training, made up to be on the matchday squads recently. We've seen that on social media. So for me, I think there's a huge opportunity to play him here. And whilst I get the Gomez call, and I agree, I think Gomez did do okay when he came on, certainly no worse than anybody else.
Yeah.
I think we've got an opportunity to give this kid a go, and I want to see him as well, so it's partly selfish on my behalf. But at the same time, with City coming up, with the problems we're already facing, and with the drop-off between a Gomez at right-back, which isn't his natural position, and a young lad, and he is young, but in his natural position, in his natural area of the field, I'm not sure there's a lot in that.
Yeah, I think this is mad where we're having these kind of conversations, but here we are, welcome to our life. This is what it is.
23, yeah.
You know, we played... I was just kind of refreshing myself on his stats. You know, he played 22 games in the Scottish Premiership last season, 1,500 minutes in doing that, one goal, five assists. He obviously played in some Europa League Conference League qualifiers as well. So, you know, we're bringing him in. He's been bought for the first team. He's not a kid that we're chucking down into our academy. And I know we had to wait a little bit for, like, Harvey Elliott to come up, but for me, falls into the same category as Fabio Carvalho. Mm-hmm. The two similar age brackets. Mm. They've both played professional football already. They've both got a season of pro football under the belts. If you can't, it will eventually get us looking. But if you can't be in contention for this one, then hopefully that's just because they've got a wider plan for them. But I don't think we should be totally opposed to the idea of chucking him in. And, you know, hopefully if you can get a good, strong team around that, then that should be all right. It gives him a bit of a fascinating game to come into. Do you want to go and play at Ibrox against Rangers? He'd be like, yeah.
Perfect.
Or he should be, you know what I mean? Absolutely. We're clearly doubling down on the two-man midfield thing, Steve. Again, I mentioned it before, there's an opportunity there against Arsenal to go back to 4-3-3. We've got the personnel on the pitch to do it, albeit it would have been a weird three up top with, like, Nunes, Jota and Firmino, but there was an option there when you bring Fabinho into the game. We've quite clearly decided, no, there's more value in keeping us in a roughly similar shape than to just throw it out after a game and a half of football. That does say to me that we're in a rotation. There's probably three, maximum of four men in rotation for those two positions. It feels like it would be Fabinho's turn to come back in for this game.
You'd think so. And whilst it clearly didn't work for all of the game away at Arsenal, and there's still a bit of hearts and minds to win over in the players as well, this is a great opportunity to go to Rangers, put that same formation out, and have another 90 minutes of trying to get it work against a team that on paper we should beat. So I agree with you. Not surprised to see it not change, and I do think it will be Fabinho in this time for Henderson, I think. Or would it be Thiago? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We still need to win the game, so we'll probably start with the players that give us the greatest creative influence, and of the two, Thiago gives you that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be governed by the medical team on how many minutes he's got in his legs. But I would see Fabinho coming back in, because he's obviously been the one that's missed out, and really, truthfully, a double pivot with him and anybody else should be okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that was the one kind of baffling thing about the Arsenal game and the decisions that we made, is that we didn't give Hendo time off. You know, which normally you've seen, they have been rotating Fabinho and Jordan a bit, Dan.
Yeah.
this is where we're at, unfortunately. No, this probably the conversation would probably just go, and I'm going to try my best to not kill yous, but we're up the shit. Yous are the senior pros. You've been there, you've done it. You're going to have to push yourselves through the pain barrier. The other thing is there's a chance it ranges away. And if Klopp has got to think, as much as we've said, no, you need to put your strongest team out. The alternative is to rotate and say to the lads, no, you're good enough. And go and do it, in which case you could maybe bring Milner. I don't think any of us here are clamouring for Milner to drop into a midfield two alongside Thiago or Fabinho or Henderson in this, but it's possible. The other one is Konate. I'd be surprised if he doesn't start this one.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, I think him getting minutes at the back end of the Arsenal game is the greatest indicator we could ever have from Klopp that he's likely to start the next game, I think. And good, because listen, he was off the pace in many respects, and it's difficult to come into a game in any position. I think a centre half might actually be the hardest place to come into a game of football in, to be honest, when it's fast paced and you kind of get an attack quite a lot like we were. But yeah, I think Konate starts this, and he's been a huge loss for us. There's no shying away from it. He's a phenomenal young footballer.
He's the best player in the Champions League final.
Exactly.
You know, and he built to that point.
Yeah.
And he's got the height. He's got the reading of the game. He is a little impulsive, but I thought that was being tempered
going,
in his game.
It? Yeah.
It's the pace that makes a huge difference. And for me, we won in fifth for City. I think we'll feel our best chance of stopping Erling Haaland is a Van Dijk, Konate pairing. And so this game is all about, you've given him a little taste at the weekend. Can you give him 90 or can you give him 75 or 80 or whatever to make sure that he's primed for the weekend?
Yeah, 100%. I think a 70 or something would be ideal. Again, it all depends how the game pans out. But I think if you can get 70 minutes into him, rotating with a Gomez if he hasn't started, and it is Ramsey or Matip on the other side of that. And then I think you're right. I think him and Van Dijk, in terms of sort of physical attributes, is the two you'd want lined up against City at the weekend. But there's, like I say, Konate being back is a huge boost, and it was one of the few positives to take from that Arsenal game, I suppose.
The slight alternative to this is that maybe you drop Van Dijk out for this one and you put Ibu on the left side, you keep Matip in place, knowing full well that it's going to be Matip's going to get his game off at the weekend and it will be Van Dijk, and then you've got a Van Dijk who's maybe just a little bit fitter, a little bit sharper.
Yeah, there's an argument to say that. I still fear when Van Dijk's in the team that there's a confidence in the side. I know we're not playing very well, but moreover, generally, since he's come to the club, he adds a lot of his aura. It changes the approach of the team. What you don't want is to go into a 10-minute spell where Rangers are all over us and you're back to fold under the pressure, and you won't get that with Van Dijk. Okay, he can play better, we know that. But he can still read the game, he can still talk through the game, he can still instruct people through the game, he still can see and has the presence to change it. Whereas we've seen before when we've changed it and we put other people in, that sometimes it does drop off and we do struggle with the communication side of it and missing that aura. So whilst I can see the merits of not playing Van Dijk to give him a break and make him fresh for City, I think that's a guy that needs to play through the bad form and come out the other side rather than sit on the bench and watch.
Yeah, it's just huge. The psychology of all this is massive, because psychology, I think, is where we're losing a lot of this at the moment. You know, players are getting in their own heads, they maybe believe in their own hype, they believe in their own negativity as well sometimes. And you know, this would be a great opportunity for Klopp to be like, nah, these are shit, you know. But also the problem is where we're at, I wouldn't trust us to use that as a boost. It's like other teams would actually gain something from us. We're just thinking about the amount of crap teams we played in the derby and won, because you're playing into their psychological weakness, you're playing into our psychological strength. I do think there's something to someone's. I mean, look, we took Salah off against Arsenal because he's played so much money. In fact, I got the minutes played so far this season. Most minutes played by any Liverpool footballer, Virgil van Dijk. What he's played 12 games, started 12 games, played 12 90s. Mm-hmm. He's played every minute of every game for us so far this season. Mohamed Salah is second. He's played 60-ish, 52 minutes or whatever less. And that is, you know, a couple of substitutions there where you know we've tried to get a little bit back in the tank. We're trying to be careful with him. We're not being careful with Van Dijk, and I do worry of is it the League Cup? Are we waiting until the League Cup before Van Dijk gets a game off? Any other season, he probably doesn't start this game.
Just thinking on that, if you took and played Ramsey, and you played Konate, and you played Matip, and you played Tsimikas, all of your big personalities in the back four, big personalities. Matip is a big personality, but in himself, as opposed to being a footballer, not there. So you need one, the doubtful guy that's going to stand you up and say, oi.
Yeah, I suppose, but then Matip does. Matip has got that. You got the goalie still behind. Yeah, you can't play. Virgil van Dijk's not going to be there forever.
No, you've got no Robbo. Robbo's pivotal to when there's a bollocking that's needed to be done. Mm. Robbo's not frightened to do it.
He's Scotland captain, isn't he?
And he's done it to Van Dijk, by the way. So maybe.
Well, it's undoubtedly.
So I don't think Becker's a great. Alisson's not a great communicator for me.
I don't think Virgil's a great one either. To be honest, he strikes me as him getting the. He's like vice captain, isn't he? Mm. He feels like a Steven Gerrard type captain to me, where you're a boss footballer.
You're so good, yeah.
Because you know Liverpool do need lads who are ranters and ravers and screamers and shouters and the ones who demonstrate with the energy and all that kind of stuff. I'm not opposed to this in a normal circumstance, but this is the problem, and then this is the difference. I haven't even got the bottle, and I'm just saying that out loud.
No,
to go with a random team for that.
That's the thing, isn't it? You mentioned sort of the derby teams we put out and won the game sometimes quite comfortably. That's when we had this all conquering tide where confidence was just flowing through it, and everything they were doing was touching to gold, really. And the training ground vibe would have been amazing because everything was just brilliant. And this is the opposite of that now. Like, whoever was in that squad previously, your Shaqiris, your Origis, used to sort of drop in and out for them games, they'd have been buzzing, they'd have gone on the pitch flying as well. But now it'd be like, if we named a sort of a mad mismatch of a team tomorrow, it'd be like, God, we can't even win when our best 11's out there, you know, in the back of your mind, let alone when the lads who can't get a game are having a go. You
but it might be something here where there's an opportunity there, and it's not a free hit because Liverpool need those points. But you've got to, again, it's about getting the squad up to speed. It's about people emerging, being given a chance to play back into form, all the ones who've been on the fringes to get themselves in the team. Like, Konate needs game time, and Ramsey's going to need game time at somewhere along the way here, and Nunes is going to need game time, etc. We'll come to the front line. But can you take a little gamble on five subs? Means you can maybe rectify this. And let's be honest, it's not like we're our best defenders. We've had Van Dijk on the pitch and we still can see the first fucking goal every week.
Yeah.
You know, we've had Alisson in goal, we've had, you know, we put Matip back into it, and it's not solved our defensive issues, brought Matip back into the side. There's something else that maybe there's just a slight it's a bit of a roll of the dice to what if someone emerges from this? What if, you know, Konate or Ramsey just step up and all of a sudden you're like, well, hello, we've given you a chance and you've taken it. We're going to have to, because these lads are going to have to play. We're going to have to rotate regardless. Mm. And it being Rangers just feels like there's this last little opportunity here where they're probably the weakest side that we're going to come up against in the coming weeks. I know it's counterbalanced by Ibrox.
Yeah.
And it's a big one-off opportunity for them. I'm trying to talk myself into it.
Just to say on that, if we, on the flip side, that again is to be devil's advocate. If we go there and win with a strong 11, you make a change. We're not through, but we're very close to it, and that gives you opportunities further down the line. Yeah. Again, it's not just the derby game, then, is all I'm saying. Because you are right at the minute. At the minute, we're all kind of looking at derby, going Salah, Van Dijk can get a rest there, and Thiago's this world.
Especially if Napoli turn Ajax over,
exactly.
Then you're dead right on that,
and that's again why it's just so
it's difficult,
awkward.
Yeah, it is.
So awkward because we do have to be careful footballers. We do have to change things. We have to get the best out of what we've got. We need to, you're right. But look at the groups. I've got the group here. Napoli obviously top on 9 points. Liverpool second on 6. Ajax on 3. Rangers on 0. And you're right. If Napoli take that win, and we get a win by hook or by crook against Rangers, puts us on 9. Keeps Ajax on 3.
It's 1-4
with 6
it?
To play. Yeah, 6 to play for. Your goal difference by that point is probably in a decent.
Your head-to-head looks good as well, doesn't it? Because we beat them. So
yeah, you've beaten them twice. You've beaten Rangers twice, and you've beaten Ajax once already. You go to that. So Ajax knowing a draw is enough to get you through.
And then you've got the Napoli game on that as well.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure, I said it recently in here, I'm not sure finishing top in the Champions League is as important as it used to be. I don't know whether that's just me and something I've made up in my own head. Because I feel like every time you get to the knockout draw, the second seeded ones are just as strong anyway now.
Out of interest, just for what it might look, we're miles off this being a thing. You know, we're only halfway through the Champions League group, but current top of the group in Group B is Club Bruges. They were 3 from 3 at the moment, which they were absolutely flying. Top in Group C is Bayern. Top in Group D is Sport and Lisbon. Group E's Salzburg ahead of Chelsea. Group F's Real Madrid. Group G, City. Group H is PSG. So, right, it's a bit of a mix about the top.
That started so well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Names came up.
But of that, you're talking Bruges, Sporting.
You couldn't play City anyway, could we?
No. So. Bruges, Sporting and Salzburg. There's more teams there. There's at least as many teams there that you'd want as not want. So you wouldn't want PSG, Real Madrid or Bayern. But then again, in terms of the second place teams, Porto, Inter Milan, Spurs, Chelsea, neither of whom you could have, Shakhtar, Dortmund, Benfica. Look, yeah, let's be honest. Right now, you'd be
there's also, an argument to say if Napoli get what they want, they might do what we did, which is say, well, the group's boxed off. We're top of the Serie A and we want to stay there. So what we'll do is we'll put in a few squad players and make the final fixture of the thing a little bit easier
thing
for
is,
us.
If we win our next two games, Napoli come to Anfield and it's a shootout for who tops the group.
Yeah.
So that's a consideration for all of this. But again, it's miles down.
Yeah,
it feels like it's like 3 minutes away, but it feels a mile down the line. There's a lot of football to be played between now and then. Last sort of talking point, I want people at home to have a little chat about this, about who starts up front. Obviously, if there's no Diaz, is it just the case of you kind of do what we did, you shuffle Jota over to the left, you put Firmino up top, or is there a shout for Fabio Carvalho? We're going to get the lads to pick their 11s after the next breaks, but if you've got a suggestion, what would you do? Who's replacing Diaz? Is it Firmino? Is it Carvalho? Is it Elliot? Let us know in the comments or in the Club Legend Discord chat, and we'll go through some of them answers in a second. But we're picking our 11s, we'll look at the Champions League fixtures and take some comments when we return, but after this short break. Hey, you! Do you like amazing signed Liverpool gear to put on your wall and make yourself look really cool? Then we've got you covered. If you join Redmen Plus as a Club Legend subscriber, we've got an amazing competition prize this month. It is a signed Liverpool home 2013-14 shirt, vintage, signed by Liverpool fullback Glenn Johnson. Yes, every month we have incredible signed prizes and other amazing things to give away to our Club Legend subscribers. They also get access to our Discord. They get first access to Redmen Live show tickets. They get free merchandise and a whole host of extra bonus perks, as well as the incredible content we deliver on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So head over to redmenplus.com. Either join as a Club Legend, or if you're a club captain, upgrade your subscription to be automatically entered into the draw for that incredible signed Liverpool shirt. Hey, welcome back. Fantastic competition running for the people who are Club Legend subscribers on Redmen Plus. Win that vintage signed Liverpool shirt. We've got boss stuff to be giving away each and every month. We're trying to add that little extra spice, extra flavour to the Club Legend, as well as being in the Discord chat, getting first refusal on live show tickets and free merchandise as well. It's closer to the idea of Patreon. So if you like what we do and you want to support what we do, you get all the extra content, but you get some extra perks on top if you come in as a Club Legend. Right, Sand, I'm going to get you guys to pick your 11s now, starting with Dan Club.
Alisson, goal, obviously. Calvin Ramsey, right back.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. Canate, Van Dijk, Tsimikas will also need a rest at some point, probably. And then, Fabinho and Thiago. I think we're asking a lot of Thiago, but I think we need to. I think the point you made earlier in terms of the creator, we can't lose that entirely in the midfield. Mm-hmm. And then Salah from the right, Firmino in behind, Jota on the left, and then Darwin Nunes. Spearheading
the attack. I like that.
What he said.
Exactly
what I thought. All I'd say, just to finish that off, is if we get to a point maybe where we feel we've won the game, 2-0, something like that, you bring Jota off and you put Carvalho on straight away on the left-hand side.
If this was almost any other season under Jurgen Klopp,
it wouldn't be this.
I think the 11 would be Alisson, Tsimikas, Konate, Matip, Ramsey or Gomez at right back, Milner and Fabinho in midfield, and then I reckon Carvalho, Nunes, Bobby, Salah
probably,
but Jota just as easy for Bobby, if I'm being honest. And I'm not, again, I sit here now 2 days away from kickoff. I'm going to the game. I will. My heart will be in my mouth the moment that game kicks off and all the build up for it. I don't want to go to Glasgow and not see us win. I would say in any normal circumstance, the team that I've just named, as much as there are several eye rolls in there, and I can literally hear and feel the eyes rolling through the cameras right now on the other side as people sit in front of the laptops or whatever at the mention of a couple of names in there. But I don't know, it's whether we have the courage of our convictions and say this is what it is. What's the bigger game? Are we prepared to jettison Manchester City to help guarantee 3 points in the Champions League? We probably should. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what we've seen so far this season is Liverpool trying to stick to their methodology. We've changed a few bits, but they're trying to keep with the overall ideological approach to what they do, and that is there are teams that are weaker teams, that's where you get more rotation, and that's how we plan. And it's not just Jürgen, it's not just a tactical thing, it's a sports science thing as well. They look down and go, this is where Salah's getting his minutes off, this is where Van Dijk gets his minutes off, and we might all absolutely freak out and lose our shit. And I'm saying it's not necessarily what I want, but maybe there's a little bit of psychological preparation here ahead of time. If you think it's wild that James Milner could be starting this game, then it's simply not. And it's not because I think that he should be playing, he's better than blah, blah, blah. It's not. I think I shouldn't have to say these words out loud. But that's been our thinking in games where we come up against opposition that we believe ourselves superior to. And there's that thing of Ajax and Napoli. If we're banking on Napoli taking out Ajax, then this isn't quite so much of a desperation must win. We might be prepared to go the full hit in the Champions League. We might have no choice, because at the minute we are trying something. And do we feel like, or do you go the alternative? And where's the psychological harm if you're not fully sharp? I mean, we'll get the fixtures up actually for the other Champions League fixtures, because I think it makes it interesting.
Just while you're looking for that, and I've just been thinking, listening to you there, if we decided to forsake the City game because they're going to run away with it from everybody, then all the other teams around City start becoming a stretch, because we're already 10 points behind Spurs. At what point do you say every game then becomes a, dare I say it, almost a cup final in terms of getting to fourth place?
Yeah, well, every game's almost like that already. Mm. But the thing is like, top four's not as hard to get into as it's made out. It feels like now, like we're getting nowhere near it because we're 10th and it's been a bit crap. Yeah. Yeah. But you don't have to win 20 games. You don't have to go unbeaten for 20 games to finish in the top four. We've been playing at this level where you have to. What we put down was what, 8 wins and 2 draws in the final 10 games of the season, where we'd lost 6 back-to-back home games in the middle of the campaign, mm-hmm. and still managed to finish third in the Premier League. Different season, different circumstances, I know. But my point in that is that the level that we've been at is so far and above the level that's required to finish third or fourth in the league that we might not need it. But the pressure is going to be on in a huge way, because it's just going to put Liverpool even further under the microscope. But then Rangers does that too if we don't get across this. What I'm trying to get across here is it's an absolute head fuck. And one thing that does play into this, looking at the other Champions League fixtures, Man City play Tuesday and they play 5:45, albeit away in Copenhagen. So there's a little bit of travel involved there, but it's not far. And it gives them an extra day plus a couple of hours extra preparation time for the game at the weekend. When Liverpool have got a bit of an advantage, it normally means that they can go, well, we won't rotate heavily. And you saw it in the week, we played the same team basically between the midweek and the end of the week. And we do that often when we're playing teams who are in a similar boat to us. If City have got more prep time, we might feel that we need more for the weekend. Yeah. Good God, this is not making me feel better about anything. See, Liverpool just need to win some fucking football matches. Just win, Liverpool. Stop being idiots and win. They're the 11s. Have you got any suggestions what you think you were doing there? I asked the question about Bobby Firmino. So Matty Cater here in the Club Legend Discord says, I'd move Jota left personally. He's probably our best option there. And Mark M said, move Jota left and get him the full 90. Feels like ages since he's played a full match. And he should be there. He should be ready for that. And I agree. He was bought in as the rotational player for Mane and a bit for centre forward. Mm. And he's ended up kind of being a number 9 because he scored so many goals. But I do like him on the left. It's hard because Diaz has got so much pace that you would there's just such a tendency to play Diaz every game when you've got him, wouldn't you? But it's, for me, it's him or Carvalho on that left-hand side, and that's a big ask to ask a lad who's, you know, we chucked him in at the deep end a bit at Brighton. I think he was a bit unfortunate to get hooked. I thought he actually, probably the last 10-15 minutes of that first half against Brighton, I thought he actually started to really come into the game. Mm. So it's a possibility. If you had to, you know, we've talked about it, we've gone, did we both go Jota, sorry, on the, yeah, on the left-hand left, yeah, side? Could you see a case for Carvalho?
100%. I've been really impressed with Carvalho. I think he had a really good start to his Liverpool career. And I wouldn't be shocked or disappointed to see him in the starting lineup. I just think I'm still firm in the camp of get your business done, you take care of your own matters, and that starts on Wednesday. And that's not to say Carvalho couldn't start and couldn't do a job and we don't win the game anyway, but for me, I'm very much in the camp of get our strongest 11 out there, and Jota is part of that. I'm not a huge fan of him from the left. I think he's just far better centrally. Just the positions he takes up and just that knack he has for being in the right place at the right time makes him the ideal nine in many senses. But yeah, I would be Jota over Carvalho.
The only other random thing here, and again, it feels like you don't want to be constantly shifting stuff. I would be interested to just put Salah in one of them forward positions. Put him with Nunes or whatever. Maybe stick Jota on the right, stick Carvalho on the left, something like that. And, you know, just Salah just needs, he's another one who just needs to find a way to get him involved in the football matches. Mm. And this might be a decent opportunity against, you know, a slightly lower quality opposition.
Yeah, we could do that. I think we'll know the result from the Napoli game, won't we, anyway, going into the fixture. So it could be absolutely a case of get it done on the night and then think about making the changes. If that result on the Tuesday night, because they do play on the Tuesday night, don't they?
Really, last time.
Yeah. Then we know if a win takes us to 9 points and then two games left to go. They're 6 points behind us. They shipped a load of goals in the last game against Napoli, so things are leaning out massively in our favour. Then at half-time, if we're two up, then we make the changes and we bring Salah central. He needs 90 minutes. You're right. In and around the ball, in and around the game. Bit of feel-good factor. Getting back and enjoying this football, that's the main thing. There's plenty of options that are open to us. It all, for me, all depends on whether Napoli do the business the night before.
Yeah. I don't think we will move Salah, to be honest. I just think we just need to keep fine-tuning what he's meant to be doing until we finally get him back closer to what he does best for us. Just going back to the Carvalho thing, I'd be tempted to give him a run in this because I don't think he's going to start against Manchester City. And there's a chat again, a bit like the Calvin Ramsey thing. There's a chance here where he bags a goal and he has a good game. And then you can go, well, he's not starting against City, but there's maybe a world where with half an hour to go, you're chucking him into that situation.
Yeah.
I know we saw Elliot come on at left mid, which is a bit peculiar.
Is there a world just to say where he starts instead of Thiago? Because he's played most of his football in centre mid anyway.
In a double pivot.
We're expecting to dominate the game. He's got the Fabinho alongside him to take up much of that defensive responsibility.
I mean, fuck me. If we're worried about being a little shaky defensively, I mean, that's all.
Yeah, no, I agree. But we're also worried about Thiago's minutes.
Okay, we're worried about... Just to counterpoint, because just to talk it out, if you've not got Trent at right back, then you've lost one creative outlet. So you're putting a right back in then. So you're either putting Joe Gomez in or Calvin Ramsey, or you're putting a Milner who's obviously not got the engine and not got the creativity, albeit he's an absolutely fine. We'd be fine with Milner right back in this game. We just would. But maybe there is something to that about, you know, if you feel like Fabinho's all right and you've got somebody who can put the work in deep, someone like, I don't know, like Elliot maybe in the double pivots, I don't know.
The thing is with him, we've seen so much of him early season in the midfield three. If we've gone away from the midfield three now, which looks like we might have done, his game time is going to go from high to very low.
And that's why I again, changing formations, great, we can get sweet on it and we might just be fine against Rangers and then it might be fine against most teams, but it's clearly not planned. This is us breaking glass and finding an emergency solution, because we have totally and utterly cut the legs off half the playing time of Elliot and Carvalho and probably Curtis Jones when he gets back as well, because now we don't play an eight. We don't play a box-to-box or creative midfield role. So you've either got to be good enough to play in the front four or you've got to be good enough, strong enough to play in a double pivot. So it's fucking
madness. I suppose if you tweak the shape and go more 4-4-2, because there's three variations, 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2, or 4-2-4. If you end up going 4-4-2, then yeah, you could play the second half with Carvalho quite easily.
Yeah. Oh. fuck me.
But what do we know?
Yeah, no, honestly, honestly, I've said this with another couple of times, Liverpool, just win some games and then we don't have to have answers to questions we don't really know. We don't always, but we certainly don't have the answers for. These are all many things are papered over. Liverpool just win football matches. We felt so good this time, like, you know, just after the Rangers game. Between Rangers and Arsenal, everything felt like it was back on track again. It can certainly get back on track again with this because it will be a hostile atmosphere. Rangers will be given absolutely everything. Liverpool are still capable. You know, again, as much as they were dog shit in the second half against Arsenal, there was enough in that first half where they more than held their own and actually were the dominant team in the football match. If that hadn't been Arsenal, is there a case that we were able to build on Rangers? It feels like we've taken a step back. I'm not sure how much of a step back we've taken, and we can't know until we take to the field, but let's try our best to remain as on top of this as possible, because there's no point in not. Life fucking miserable enough without crumbling in and worrying about all the worst possible things and all the things that have gone wrong and every other tiny little thing under the microscope. Liverpool have got good players. They've got a world-class players and a world-class manager. They're going to ultimately win more games than not as the season progresses, but it'd be nice if they could just do it so I don't have to keep standing here. Like, I feel like I'm fucking like me boy with the finger in the dam of misery again. It's been a long time since I've had to be that. That was very 2010 Paul, 2011 Paul, 2012 Paul. I don't like being that Paul. I want to be the Paul who just talks about how boss we are. Liverpool, could you do that for me? That would be John Henry, be clear, Bessie, mate. If you could stop giving me the money and spend it on footballers for Liverpool, that would be great as well. Right, sounds joking. I know people don't get sarcastic.
Can't wait for Twitter later.
Oh,
no.
Fucking hell. Okay, let's have a score prediction, Dan.
Liverpool finally stop committing the cardinal sin of conceding first in the first 5 seconds and win a game of football. 3-1.
Yeah, Liverpool, take that.
If Rangers come out 3-1, if they're pragmatic and sit in and try and be patient, again, it depends on what happens the night before. I think Liverpool win by 2 goals. So 2-0 if they try to make life difficult for us, or 3-1 if it's an open game of football.
Yeah, I'd take 2-0 for this, and I think if it's only just a similar type of game to last week, but we score from open play rather than set plays this time around, we had a bit of that when we played, I want to say Salzburg, was it Salzburg or Leipzig in the COVID season, and we played them in Hungary, didn't we, for both those games. The first game, we were good, but it was close. In the second time, we were just more and better, and that was the sort of start of us turning the corner again. That, you know, I don't need this to be a one for the ages, but what we could do with, as I was thinking, in terms of the season, we need some moments. We could do with someone scoring a really good goal that you can go, God, it was great to be there when we did that. Some other things to just, some nice distractions, you know what I mean? Other things to say, we're okay and we'll be okay. A new song, you know, someone puts them foot at the forefront for a new song that takes over the terraces, because that's what European games are about. Yeah. And that can help to really kickstart what we do. Anyway, leave me your 11 predictions in the comments section here on YouTube, and your score predictions as well. If you want to get involved with the starting 11 prediction, Chris is live Monday evening with that one, so tune in for that. Plenty more content to come from us in video and in podcast form. And again, as mentioned earlier at the top of the show, so tantalising and close to 500,000 subscribers. So if you like what we do, please do click that subscribe button. If you want to be notified when we go live with shows just like this, then click the notification bell and you'll get that air push notification through on your phone, so you can come and join us so you don't need to miss another live show again. Although you might feel like you want to at the moment. I know it's hard. Tons of people like the need, the clamour for extra Liverpool content. I know it's hard. We just want to bury our heads in the sand. Keep the social media blackout going for at least another 24 hours. Then we're going to go to Glasgow. Liverpool are going to put in a good show, and hopefully we'll win, and that will boost spirits ahead of Man City. That sounds good, right?
Yep.
Needed.
I'll take that. Let's do that. Liverpool, makes sense, right? Yeah, please, Liverpool, do that. Thank you so much for watching or listening. You guys are boss. Have a boss week, and we'll see you soon. Ta-da. If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.